first in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Welcome, it's Friday, everyone. Thank you for joining us here on Spouting Off, our flagship show, Spouting Off, every Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern. I just got off 2 hours doing the Power Hour radio show, which, by the way, shameless plug, if you'd like to hear the Power Hour radio show, I do it Wednesdays and Fridays now from 11 to 1 Central or 10 to 12 Mountain. That's when we do the Power Hour radio show. And the reason I like the Power Hour so much is because they have their own products that they advertise. It's kind of cool. They advertise their own products, and that way they don't have to sell advertising all the time. They just sell products, and their motto is buy from the good guys. The reason that's also important, ladies and gentlemen, is because among the ideas that got introduced, it wasn't the very first time, on the Power Radio show is the idea of Cash Friday. Now, everybody knows, well, not everybody, but a lot of people know that we are living in extraordinary times, and who would have thunk that in my lifetime there would be a concerted effort to take over the world by global fascism? I mean, I'd love not to say that to you. I'd love to. In fact, I wish someone would tell me I'm mentally ill. But you know what? If from where I'm sitting, from the vantage point I'm watching, I see a level of corruption leading towards an obvious, against our will, global fascism that is corrupting everything America has stood for well over 200 years. Because America has been the beacon of liberty, not just with the liberty, the Statue of Liberty, but America has been the beacon of liberty all across the world. And an exceptional and extraordinary country to celebrate individual liberty instead of serfdom, slavery, and subjugation, which has been the rule in history rather than the exception. Now, did anybody vote for global fascism? No, they never do. They never vote for fascism or to be enslaved. But some people are under the misapprehension that if they just give in to the mask mandates, to the vax mandates, that somehow they will be left alone. Nope, that's not how it works. It doesn't work that way. The more you give in, the faster the tyranny comes upon you. That's just how it works. It's always imposed by force, by bullying, by intimidation, by scapegoating, crisis, propaganda, and frankly, fear. We're watching it. They don't care that we see it. It is an in-your-face bastardization of all that we hold dear, and we're watching it right here. Now, I don't think paying cash on Friday is going to turn all that around. Okay, I wish it would. All that good people of faith, good American citizens want is to be left the heck alone. That is what liberty is. And liberty is, that's part of what liberty is. Liberty is also the right to take the consequences for your actions. If a government can seduce you into thinking that you can act without consequences, then they will turn you into a slave because you will no longer have the benefit and the liberty to make your own choices. Does that make sense? I've been saying it for a while. So we're watching the darkening of our future. we are watching people who have the reins of power shutting down liberty in the United States of America. And it just hasn't just been happening in the last 8 months, although it seems like we're on a speeding train to tyranny and to fascism. Yes, I'm using those words interchangeably. Fascism means that businesses and corporations, corporate bullying, but that ain't freedom. Corporations are not. It's funny. The left used to hate corporations. Now they love them. Have you noticed? The left used to love free speech. Now they hate it. The left used to hate the man, the establishment. Now they are the man and the establishment. It's a funny how everything has been twisted on its head. From it's funny, last hour I had Daniel Greenfield on, one of the greatest all-time writers, who wrote a piece recently at his website, danielgreenfield.org, that feminism without women. So now, because everything is the oppressed and the oppressor, what used to be victims, women used to be, oh, women are victims. They're the victims of men. They're the victims of everything. All of a sudden, on a dime, women are now oppressing transgender men, you see. So now there are oppressive groups within other oppressed groups. If you don't go along with their trans, let's see, what's it called? I even hate thinking of the words that they use because they've redefined words now. Intersectionality. If you're a former feminist, if you don't go along with men being allowed in women's bathrooms, you're the oppressor, don't you know? You see how it works? So you have to be oppressed in disavowing everything you used to believe in. Remember when women were supposed to be, we're supposed to elevate them. Women could do anything. Women could be Navy SEALs, for heaven's sakes, right? Now, pregnant women are just birthing people. Right. So now we're demeaning the very people that we claimed to be champions of. That's how it works when they change the rules at whim. What I was heading towards here with a few leading down the primrose path along the way was Cash Friday. Cash Friday. So among the many attacks on our country is the notion that we're not allowed to do business, to buy and sell, unless we answer to the government, unless we do as we are told, and unless we agree with or without our agreement to be surveilled and to be spied on by our government to decide what we're buying, how much we're buying, and what we're allowed to do or not do. So obviously, cash is the enemy of such little baby doc dictators. They don't want us to buy and sell. And yes, that's a language right out of the New Testament, which I am not a proponent of. But hey, to buy and sell unless we bow to the government. How about that? So we're on a path of subjugation, complete control over our lives, if we do not submit to being injected with poison. We don't know what it is. Nobody knows what's in these shots. But our rights to say no, we're not going to allow you to force me and threaten me with my job if I don't take your vax, if I don't take the jab. I mean, that is straight out of communist Russia, straight out of communist China, straight out of Maoism, Stalinism, all the rest. We're the bosses, and you will do as we say. And to add insult to injury, you'll do as we say because we care about you so darn much. Really? Is that right? Is that what's going on right now? We care about you so darn much. I read an article that kind of validated some of this that I'm talking to you about. It's not as if I haven't talked about it before, but I welcome you to call in. We'll have one more segment before we welcome our guest at 1-888-627-6008. You are welcome to call in and comment, change my mind, that we are not headed towards global fascism in the world. I mean, we're not just watching a march towards fascism, communism, authoritarianism, all those horrible subjugate the populace kinds of isms. We're not just watching it in America. We're watching it in Australia, in Canada. Formerly free countries are now subjugating their own people. So we have to look at it on a much bigger front. What the heck is going on? So I saw this article at the Epoch Times, and I encourage everybody to take the Epoch Times, E-P-O-C-H. Sometimes they call it Epoch Times. You've seen it around. They're a free newspaper. You can get a digital version, or you can have it sent to you, to your home. There's an article, Three Warfares, Doctrine Underpins the Communist Chinese Party's Sprawling Campaign to Infiltrate the West. This is a report. Now, what do you suppose the Three Warfares are? According to the Epoch Times and this article, it's psychological warfare, and we talk about that all the time around here. Psychological warfare. What? Well, let's pull them apart one by one. Public opinion warfare, trying to change opinion through the co-opting of the media, which is doing their bidding to an astonishing degree. And then there's legal warfare. So, psychological warfare that we are seeing is partly to twist people's understanding of the United States of America by telling people that America is a horrible country, that America is a despicable, terrible country, and it deserves to go down. It deserves to be destroyed and replaced with something different. That is a powerful, powerful psychological warfare. Here's another one. Repression. Overseas ethnic Chinese populations, even those who aren't Chinese citizens, find themselves as priority targets of Beijing's influence operations. One objective, according to the IRSEM, is to control the diaspora, such as Chinese citizens that don't even live in China anymore, so that they can't speak out, so they will not speak out. Because after all, freedom of information is among the most, the thing that is more under attack today than everything else, than anything else. A news story that is I could spend 3 hours on is that YouTube has decided they will no longer allow, they're going to ban information that doesn't comport with a positive spin on the vaccine. YouTube bans all, quote, harmful vaccine content from its platform. You see how they twist words? So now the content is harmful, but the vax is not. It's dangerous for you to know anything different than what they want you to know. Is that tyranny, ladies and gentlemen? I think it is. We're going to have to take a break right now. Please, if you have a thought of a comment, 627-888-627-6008. You're on BBS Radio and the K-Star Radio Network. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air but you haven't been able to find the right words. Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Well, welcome back to Spouting Off Friday. It's Cash Friday, ladies and gentlemen. Take out some cash out of your bank. Go spend it where you would buy something on Amazon or eBay or whatever, and buy something in cash. The whole notion that they want to create a cashless society where every transaction is spyable and they can spy on you and whatever else, not a good plan. So keep cash in circulation, pay cash, either on Friday or any other day. I love the idea because you don't even need to organize to do it. You can do it on your own. So if you like the idea, it ain't illegal to use the first means of money that the government itself put out there, fiat currency. Use your fiat currency. I love doing a show on Friday so I can talk about that. That's great. We're going to bring on my illustrious producer, Doug Newsome, one half of the owners of BBS Radio and so many more hats they wear. Hi, Doug. How you doing?
Hi. How am I doing? I am feeling great, but a little cloudy in the head given all that's occurring. Wondering when it's going to change, if it's going to change.
Well, I hate to say it, but given that this has been coming on for such a long time, a shutting down of liberty, both in America and across the Western civilization, I hate to say that I don't think it's going to end anytime soon. The question is, toughest question ever, what can we do about it? What do you think we can do about it?
Boy, everybody moved to a state where we've got things in common, and let's make a stand somewhere because the world, so much of the world seems to be going crazy. It's almost like we have to have a stronghold, a central location, and spread out from there. That's not so true, but I keep thinking that in my mind. I'd love to see how, you know, if they couldn't affect, let's say, okay, everybody says, let's move to Texas, let's make that a conservative structure and see how well we do in comparison to the rest of the globe. Well, ultimately, the rest of the globe, like a bully, would come and beat you over the head and make sure that your wonderful system never did work because they'd sabotage it. Because they don't want to see a wonderful system
work. Well, any of these free states are major targets.
Right.
We see that. And that's the point. Tyrants cannot abide liberty anywhere. Have you noticed that? You know, as long as there are free people living their lives and not bothering anybody, that's an affront to your everyday tyrant. And there's too many of them out there trying to shut other people down. That whole notion of to each his own is disappearing.
Right. Will it ever even come back? And I kind of agree with you. I just don't, into the future, I think it's going to be a fight for liberty that's going to be, you know, ongoing, and it's going to continue to erode because we've given the government too much power. We've allowed for them to take too much. And as most people know in all media, they're not willing to give it back. And that's going to create a problem.
Well, now they're taking it by force, though.
Right.
So
by hook or by crook, not just by force.
We are being pushed around. What's that?
I said by hook or by crook, not just by force.
We are being pushed around by unelected bureaucrats, unelected judges, unelected people, nameless, faceless people who have corrupted our system. And we didn't give them that power. Somebody did, but we didn't. So even though, yes, a lot of people handed it over, right now it's being taken by force. The question is, you know, what do you do?
What can you do about it? You got to hold these people to the same standards or a higher standard. That's hard to do. What we're seeing is politicians can vote their own salary increases. That shouldn't be the case. It's almost like they have the ability to literally do what they want without any real oversight. And they, you know, all the rules that they lay down, they aren't accountable to those understandings. And even if they are, I mean, nobody's going to put any attention to it. So they don't really get any sort of a penalty for breaking the rules. I mean, we just read in the news, 156 judges that had money in various corporations that they were overseeing suits for. And nobody says anything about that, but that's just dirty. That's dirty. There's a conflict of interest there. Just like there's a conflict of interest when a politician gets to vote in his own salary increase. It's a conflict of interest. And we don't do anything about those conflicts of interest. I mean, if they were truly held to the same standards they impose upon the people, we wouldn't see them imposing these sorts of understandings. But they're not held to account. And that's really, I mean, if there's something to rant about for me, it would be that.
Yeah. Do you think that horse has left the barn, though, as far as the unelected bureaucrats? Because they're already pushing their weight around. They're already, my God, they're firing almost 600 employees of United Airlines because the corporations are now being used as proxies in this plan to usurp our Constitution using big corporations to do it.
Right. Well, when we allowed the government to literally step in the military-industrial complex to fund and aid the technology companies, which they did, don't think the internet started because a private group of citizens came along. Yeah. So you have them that are funding these corporations, and because of that, you accept money from the devil. You're gonna abide by what the devil wants, and that's what's happening. The government
is lit. The golden rule,
right?
Them what has the gold makes the rules,
right? And they're using our money
today.
They use our money to go in there and literally bribe these corporations. And with being able to print all the money they want, there's no end to the sort of level of control that they can get by giving money to these corporations. And these corporations, you really can't blame them. I mean, maybe you can. I mean, I wouldn't want to work for one of these corporations. But at the end of the day, they're about the dollar. And if they don't abide by the weaponizing of these institutions, which we're seeing nonstop weaponizing, they're not going to survive, or they're not going to be as big as they could be. So the system is very perverse.
I interviewed the wonderful and verbose, and talk show hosts love verbose guests, usually, Wayne Allen Root, who wrote, I mean, he is a prolific writer, and he wrote this book about the Patriot Guide. I have to get the exact thing, but the Patriot Guide to Boycotts and Protests. Okay. And he's of the, this book, I'm going to give him a free advertising here. This book names names, and you can look at the corporations and businesses that have gone woke. You know, just like we saw Coca-Cola. Remember how we saw Coca-Cola?
Right.
You know, don't be too white. So I put a meme on my website in the lettering of Coca-Cola. Stop being so communist or something like that. You know, quit being so, you know, don't be so communist. And there are these huge companies that are basically doing the bidding of the government. They are no longer serving their customers. They're serving the government.
Right.
If the government wants them to fire, well, they're going to bully them into it. Fire people who don't take the jab, they're going to do it.
Right, it's amazing.
Whether it's an airline, United Airlines, Delta, Bank of America, all these big corporations, and he gives you a way to write them, call them, and tell them you're not doing business with them anymore. And that may seem like a spit in the ocean, but in fact, it often works because that's how the left has done it for years, isn't it?
Sure. I think that that sort of a push would work. I'm always surprised, though, I got to admit. I mean, they're like Hollywood, for example. I mean, literally, go woke, go broke. And yet you see these institutions sabotaging their own future. And you wonder how much money is truly awash out there if a corporation can do the opposite of what they should do for its own health, and yet they do it anyways. So to
probably because they're going for the short term. Well, you know, the best example of that was during Obamacare. Obama and his administration was bribing healthcare companies to go along with Obamacare that would basically put them out of business.
Right.
But they went for the short term gain. They said, "Ooh, cool, the government is going to force people to get health insurance." Never occurred to them that while the government was going to force people to get health insurance, that they would be undercutting their company and eventually make it so there was socialized medicine, universal health care, and no health care insurance companies at all.
I don't think a lot of these individuals really think about the full ramifications of what they do. Maybe they do, and maybe they think that there's a barrier of entry that's being created for the little guy, so if we impose it on the larger corporations, it'll just give us more ability to control the market because the smaller corporations won't be able to afford it.
Somebody else's problem. They don't realize it. It's very short-sighted.
Very.
It's very short-sighted.
I think America's become, that's a good definition for where America is. It's a short-sighted country.
Yeah. But you know what? I would caution people. This is why I love talking to you, because we don't always agree, but we like kicking things up and kicking ideas around. I would caution people to fall into the trap of hating America. I know you don't hate America.
Right, I don't. I love America.
What I love about America is the idea of America. And the PSYOP that I was talking about before was kind of like to talk people into committing suicide for their own country, you know,
right.
To say, I wrote this piece about the woman who tried to convince and ultimately did convince a teenager to commit suicide, that somehow that was the right thing to do. That's what these poisonous communists are trying to do, is to try to get Americans to hate and destroy their own country.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, there's a lot of gullible people out there who are falling for this poison. That's not acceptable.
What's interesting is you look at China, that's in many ways doing some of the opposite. They're doing the opposite of what we're pushing on some level.
Well, to some extent.
And it always surprises me that we take their ideas and we go even further with them.
Yeah,
they're spying on other people.
They're persecuting people. There's groups of people that are being, there are horrible things being done to the Uyghurs and all the rest.
But you look at China, they're taking a stand against, you know, when our tech companies wouldn't get away with what they're doing in China. They wouldn't. Mm. Because China's going to just iron fist them, just like they did y'all.
But our tech companies are iron fisting us.
They are.
I mean,
but
that's what's
China's really,
right?
You know, they can come down with the iron fist and is basically saying, look, if you don't, this is what they report. If you don't benefit the people more, we're going to put you out of business, right? Yeah. That's kind of their stance now.
You know what, Doug? Your other hat told me that I'm almost out of time. So
we
thank
love you.
You
here at BBS Radio.
Oh, I got a minute. Oh, I thought it was 30 seconds. Why don't you take the last word, as Bill O'Reilly used to say, and then we'll take a break and we'll have our guest on right now.
Listen to Karen Cataline every Friday at 1 p.m. Central Time, because if you don't, you're going to stay ignorant.
Now, let's not strong arm people into listening to Karen Cataline, but I do appreciate the vote of confidence. I really do. Thank you, Doug Newsome, one half of the twin team of Doug and Don. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Matt Rosenberg. I'll tell you about him right after this. You're listening to Spouting Off on BBS Radio. I'm Karen Cataline. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Looking for even more great conservative talk radio? The K-Star Talk Radio Network is a Christian-owned, alternative conservative news and talk radio internet broadcasting network. They have a full line of programming about spiritual, political, social, economic, financial, and health-related topics. And their goal is to encourage critical thinking about the issues of the day. The K-Star Talk Radio Network features great shows like America's First News, The Keith Hansen Show, Erskine, and Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. Check out the whole schedule at their website at kstarradionetwork.com. Time could be short for a free people to share ideas in a free society. K-Star Radio Network is fighting a spiritual war on an earthly plane. Visit them today at KStarRadioNetwork.com.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back once again to Spouting Off. Just so you know, if you are interested in accessing the archives of Spouting Off, we had a little bit of a downtime there where the archives, the shows weren't getting up on my website. You can go now to my website, KarenCataline.com, and you can watch and see a lot of the shows that I do. You can also go to BBSRadio.com, and I'm there, and all the archives of the BBS Radio show is there, as well as you can listen live on K-Star Radio Network. I'm telling you, we're just doing our part as best we can. I would love to now welcome my guest. He is author of the book, What Next, Chicago? Notes of a Pissed Off Native Son. Boy, can I relate to that as it relates to Colorado. And his name is Matt Rosenberg. He drove a yellow cab in Chicago, worked on the Better Government Association at the Chicago Sun-Times, Pulitzer finalist, Mirage Tavern Probe, I don't know what that means, but I'm reading it anyway, helped elect for a reform alderman. Oh, my goodness. I don't know if I can read this because it's not making much sense. So we'll have him tell us about his background live and in person. Well, live and on the telephone. Matt Rosenberg, thank you so much for joining us here on Spouting Off.
Hey, my pleasure, Karen. Good to be with you.
Yeah, good to be with you, too. So tell us briefly about your background, because this bio seems to have gotten a little bit corrupted in the computer there. So tell us a little bit about you and why you decided to write this book, What Next, Chicago?
You bet, Karen. So I spent about 30-plus years working in journalism and politics, advocacy, and communications. Worked on a undercover probe of corruption in Chicago. We set up a fake tavern called the Mirage Tavern and documented the shakedowns by the city of Chicago inspectors. 60 Minutes came in to do an episode, Mike Wallace and the whole gang. That was a long time ago. I was just a wet behind the ears kid back then. But it helped to inspire me to go into journalism, learn how to do news reporting and opinion writing and, you know, long, long career in all of those fields, which I mentioned earlier. But looking at Chicago last year, looking at the cities in the United States blowing up after the heinous death of George Floyd under the knee of that Minneapolis policeman, I realized I had to come back to my hometown of Chicago. Stuff had been building for a while, but now it was spilling over, so I needed to dig in. And I moved back in, and I started going down into the South Side to talk to Black people in particular about really the question that's on the cover of the book. Mm-hmm. What next, Chicago? Because there were so many problems, which we can get into in just a minute, if you'd like.
Yes, of course. So you mentioned George Floyd and all of that. I often comment on the fact that all hell broke loose in 2020, affected exactly what they wanted, which was to smear all police as racist and to somehow defund them, to leave everyday citizens helpless and hopeless and defenseless. And now in 2021, there was not one riot. Doesn't it seem a little orchestrated to you?
It does. And I too felt a real grievance, and I don't use that word lightly. I think there's too much grievance out there these days, but mm-hmm. I felt a real grievance at the way that police were smeared and painted with such a broad brush as inherently racist. And what's happened,
it's totally unfair. It's a smear.
I would say people are getting that it's unfair, and more than that, defund the police has more or less failed. And in the book, I cite some news reports which show that this year, 26 of the 50 biggest cities actually increased police spending as a proportion of their budget. And you're also seeing a lot of the outright defunding moves, which were partial, being reversed. And of course, we're seeing rising crime, because here's the thing, and here's the root of my grievance and probably yours, Karen. Police have pulled back. They don't want to be tarred online. They don't want to be starring in a video that eliminates what happened before the policeman had to get physical, that doesn't show the crime or the provocation to which they're responding. Now, none of this is to say that police have never screwed up. They have, and they need
everybody to be held, screws up.
Yeah,
but
they need
not
to be
the
held
issue.
Accountable.
Right. Everybody screws up, but yet to mm-hmm. say that all police are racist and need to go away, I'm mm-hmm. going to just cut to the chase, Matt Rosenberg, and say that's an attack on you and me. That's an attack on law-abiding citizens of every color, race, and creed who depend on the police to protect them and their property and the rule of law.
Here's what's especially interesting, Karen. On the South Side, where I spent the better part of 2 months in Chicago talking to Black folks, what I heard again and again was, hey, we want more police. Yes, we want better police, but we want more of them. I heard an awful lot, too, about family. I learned about job training, career, and vocational education programs. I learned about a program where 18 Black female electricians were certified and graduated this summer, a program run by a pastor down in the Woodlawn neighborhood on the South Side of Chicago. A great mm-hmm. guy named Corey Brooks. He's trying to raise $20 million. He has a 501c3 for a big job training center and community center. An excellent man, just one of many. So there are success stories and rays of hope, but there's spiraling violent crime, like in other big cities. There's a poisonous atmosphere for policing. There are a broken court system, broken public schools, endemic corruption, and rigged rules of governance. So as you can tell, that's an awful lot. And I made it my mission to go in there, not only talk to people, but do the policy research as well. talk to experts, do the research, and try and find a way out for this city. Because as this city goes, I would say so goes our nation in the end.
Well, and everybody who cares about innocent lives, regardless of their color, once again, knows that the murder rate in Chicago is through the roof. And nobody is doing anything about it. The people who claim that Black Lives Matter don't seem to care about the Black lives that have been snuffed out in Chicago. Why is that, do you think?
I think there are a couple of reasons, and you have to look at who is doing the not caring. On the one hand, you have the urban political elite of color, including Mayor Lori Lightfoot, Chief
what
Judge.
A,
I know
character.
I have a lot to say about Lightfoot in the book, and I will right here in a minute. Other important regional political leaders who are also Black include the Chief Judge of Cook County, Tim Evans, who is the architect of bail reform, and the Cook County prosecutor, Kim Fox, who's never met a prosecution that she likes. And so, number one, it's inconvenient for these three top Black leaders and for the Chicago City Council on the whole, with a few exceptions, for those leaders of color to care about Black lives lost, because they are ineffectual, and more importantly, they are married to a narrative of systemic racism, which is, you know, essentially nonsense. What we have is systemic misrule by this urban political elite of color. But Lightfoot explains every problem in the city as due either to systemic racism or to guns. What we have are young Black and Latino men running off the rails. Now, the hardcore miscreants are only about 5% of the population. And as a longtime Chicagoan, I do emphasize that there are good people here, Karen, many of them. There's amazing human capital. There's diverse culture. There are many things that still make this a great city, but we have a tyranny of the minority. So the Black political leaders don't want to step up, and Black lives don't matter to them. Black lives also don't matter to the white progressives, who sadly are some of the worst racists around. They believe that Black people are not capable, that they are crippled by this systemic racism that they allege exists widely and broadly and controls everything. What they really want is to shuck off their own white guilt. And no one has said that better than the Black scholar who grew up on the south side of Chicago and in the suburbs around here, named Shelby Steele. Shelby is remarkable.
For sure.
And he literally wrote the book. It's called White Guilt, and I highly recommend it. And he said last year in a community forum here, he said, listen, I know white people are sincere when they actually ask something of us Black people, when they ask us to up our game in this way or that way. If they don't, and if they're just talking about the systemic racism hustle, then I know they're just trying to get their own guilt off their backs, and they're trying to use us. And I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. Well, listen, we have to get ready for a break. And so before I ask you for another question, because I got a bunch, and thank you for staying with us, tell everybody where they can get this book, What Next Chicago? Notes of a Pissed Off Native Son.
Absolutely, Karen. People can find the book at either Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. It's online only. They can go to either of those two major sites and simply enter What Next Chicago, and they will be delivered straight to the page.
Okay. Matt, hold on just a minute. We're going to take a quick break. We're talking to Matt Rosenberg, and thank you for joining us. We've got one more hot segment before the end of the show. Karen Cataline, you're listening to Spouting Off on BBS Radio and the K-Star Radio Network. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Well, welcome back. That was a quick break. Karen Cataline, and it is a Friday. It's Cash Friday. Go out, spend some cash. This is Spouting Off, and we have one more segment. Excuse me, I didn't mean to squeak like that. We have one more segment with Matt Rosenberg. Really enjoying talking to him about his new book, What Next, Chicago? Notes of a Pissed Off Native Son. Thank you, Matt, for continuing to join us. We appreciate it. Got a couple more questions for you.
Mm-hmm. Fire away.
Yes, I shall. So one of the things, now, I've been talking all week, of course, about how the plan to divide people into victim and perpetrator, that just keeps changing in order to manipulate and control the populace. And nothing has been an example of that more than the constant charges of racism, racism, racism. And when you talked about, you were mentioning right before the break, systemic racism, which is, you know, just an ugly, horrible smear on an entire country, on an entire population, so that they can, you know, demonize all white people, demonize people according to the color of their skin, which is evil, is the notion that no one is really ever guilty of a crime if they're the right color. I mean, nobody ever talks about that much, and I would love for you to speak to that if you would, you know? Instead of judging people by whatever was their behavior and then allowing due process, which is almost gone too, it's all according to what color you are.
Well, there are certain terms that are used to facilitate really an excessively lenient approach to criminal justice. One is, of course, social justice. Another is criminal justice reform, also bail reform. But what it amounts to in the end is probation, often where real sentences are deserved. It may manifest as concurrent sentencing instead of consecutive, meaning you get two or three crimes for free, if you follow me. They'll have someone serve two or three sentences at once when he committed two or three separate crimes. And then, of course, there's bail reform, which in Cook County, which includes Chicago, lets guys out after they've been arrested, often for violent crimes. Or for gun crimes, which our state's attorney sees as not worrisome or alarming. She sees violations of the gun laws here as really sort of minor bureaucratic paperwork type of crimes. But if a guy is not carrying a legal firearm owner's ID card in Illinois, or a concealed carry permit, he's quite likely up to no good with that gun. So letting them out often results in these guys going and committing further crimes, shootings, murders, and carjackings. And it's just, there is behind it a racial consciousness, a racial awareness, essentially a sort of a get-out-of-jail-free card for people of color that is cloaked in, you know, this sort of policy reform clothing. And so it's very insidious.
Well, and we've seen in places like San Francisco and other places that it's okay to steal under $900 or less in California. And that's okay, they're not, somehow.
They're knocking over boutiques and beauty stores like they were going out of style here in Chicago. Mm-hmm. We've got the same thing, and I think we're seeing this in other cities too. I mean, a great deal of drug crimes are not prosecuted anymore. I've had a Chicago policeman tell me, you know, if we stop a guy for a traffic violation and we see, you know, a rock of cocaine in a pipe in the front of a car, we're not going to get him for that, but we're going to make him get out of the car and look for illegal guns because they know that the drug crimes will not be prosecuted. Now, you know, myself, I don't have a beef with the legalization of marijuana. I think it probably aids and abets mental illness in chronic users, and our homeless populations in the big cities suffer from a lot of addictions, including very powerful weed. So I don't think it's a really great idea from a physical and mental health perspective to use that stuff, but I understand why we're not arresting people for it. Am I suggesting we should throw heroin addicts in jail? No, but I do believe in the broken windows theory that became well understood in New York under Commissioner Bratton and Mayor Giuliani a good long time ago. And when you start to let stuff slide all over the place, you know, it has a cascading effect. So we've got a general discomfort with enforcing codes of conduct, with enforcing the law. We've got white guilt that is now institutionalized. And Karen, I bet you'd agree, but I think we shouldn't let universities off the hook here. These prosecutors and mayors and city council members who are, you know, basically enshrining a kind of moral relativism here, they all came up through these universities in whenever, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, or later, being taught what is essentially, it's called deconstructionism, and it basically tears down standards, it tears down right and wrong, and it shrouds itself in this social justice movement that has really turned into a social injustice movement, in my opinion.
Oh, that is so well stated, Matt. And that is in line with what we've seen in the assault on American culture. Everything that is terrible for America, from elevating blame, elevating lawlessness, sloth. I mean, I'm not a Christian, I'm a Jew, but the seven deadly sins are all being elevated, and goodness and decency are being plummeted, demeaned. And well, that's what we're seeing.
And Karen, I really want to accent something here, and I experienced this living in my hometown of Chicago again last year in 2020. This is not a white versus black thing, a white versus Latino thing.
And you don't even have to say that. It's too bad that everybody's so defensive about it. No, you're not a racist, you don't have to constantly defend yourself that you're not a racist. But I do understand what you're saying.
I do, but I want to take it a step further. I've actually
You only have about a minute.
Latinos and blacks saying, look, we believe in these things too. We believe in hard work. We believe in faith and family. And more than that, more importantly, Karen, right to your point, they believe in the opportunity that America presents. And if you look hard at what's going on in Chicago, you see Latinos coming in, working up a storm. They're everywhere. They own small businesses. They're killing it. They're good.
We are so overly conscious of these superficial groups that character has gone by the wayside as the factor here. I hate to tell you, I got to let you go. The show's almost over. I want to thank you, Matt Rosenberg, for joining us here. Do run out and get his book. It sounds fascinating. What Next, Chicago? Notes of a Pissed Off Native Son. Can people find you on Twitter and Facebook too?
They certainly can. I'm on at Chicago Schooled with a K on Twitter. Yeah. And on Facebook. On Facebook, there's a special page called What Next Chicago.
Wonderful. Matt Rosenberg, thank you so much for joining us. And that about does it for us here on Spouting Off. I want to thank Doug for always coming on the air when I ask him, because it's always fun to talk to him. Thanks to my guest, Matt Rosenberg. Thanks to HW, the guy with an IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And it is always new name Spouting Up. What are you talking about, Doug? He throws these things at me at the very last minute. It's Spouting Off, and it's a good thing to spout off. It's also good to do Cash Friday and to have a wonderful weekend. Be well. Take care. See you next week.